See, this is our logo.
Oh. Yes.
I had that made at the very first meeting, and that was, I figured if there's anything important to rally around is see something you're familiar with. So I called in Dow's PR man, a guy named Long, and I told him, what I want is a logo for our meeting, and hopefully if we continue, we can keep it. I want you to portray to me the university, industry, government working together in concert, but yet independent of each other. We want to be sure that the universities, particularly in the industry, are working together, but they're not being dominated by either, nor the government. And he came up with this, and if you look at that thing, it's working in concert, but they don't touch.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was very excellent when I saw it, and I said, boy, that's exactly what we want. He and his PR guys came up with this. Yeah. Came up with that, and we, at the first meeting, we had a big sign over our speaker stand, that thing. And that's been a logo, and everybody recognizes that, you know. And I think that's very important of something to rally to, is something as a local or something you recognize, and that's been our logo ever since. And I find that a lot of people don't even know what it means. Now, I've explained it a time or two, but the thing about CCR is a constant turnover of people, which is good and bad, because you get more people learning, acquainted with each other. But see, the department heads are changing constantly in the universities. And in the industry, the people are retiring and changing. So every year, there's new people. Now, there's less and less who attended every meeting. There are some people who attended every meeting since 79. See, 1990 will be our 10th anniversary. And we talked about having it back here at Dow, but I think Grace and University of, what's the, American, Washington University? What's that?
St. Louis?
No, the one in Washington.
American University? Georgetown?
Georgetown, and maybe one of the government agencies are wanting to sponsor, and maybe it's just as well. But I think what we ought to do is really take a look back on 10th year and see if we have lived up to our charter's intent and so forth, so on.
That was a question I wanted to ask you, is now, so many years later, how do you feel?
Oh, I feel like the thing has gone almost, couldn't have gone any better than I'd liked it myself personally. And I think a lot of other people same way. This turned out just a whole lot like I had visioned it. Some changes here and there, but by and large, it's exactly what we wanted and what is really happening, because you can't believe how well these people work together today. It's just amazing. You walk into that annual meeting compared to the first two, you know, and particularly the first one. It was just a bed of bedlam almost in that first meeting. Nobody trusted anybody. And today, the only thing I don't regret, we're not penetrating deep enough in our organizations. You get, I'd like to get down, and when we keep trying to figure out how ways to do this, getting down where we're touching every professor in the chemistry department, and getting down and touching every scientist in the university, in the industry side. And that's not easy. We're doing it slowly. They're proposing some meetings now that may help that. But it, you see, another cardinal rule we made that we were not going to have any build-up of a big staff. It's going to be a volunteer organization. We have only one executive director and two secretaries. That's it. The rest of it's all done by volunteers. All the committees, board, no pay. And boy, I'm telling you, you know, when I was chairman 3 years, and a rule I made, which is not in our constitution, that every other chairman of the board is going to be the university industry. Mm-hmm. So when I got ready to step down, Jack Kinsinger was in line to be the next, and he suggested, no, I think it ought to just stay a industry. You know, they got, so no, we don't want that. This is going to be a university industry thing, and we're going to have it every other time, and it has been. Now, that's just kind of a rule that we've developed among us. But automatically, we just, the next, see, this one this year is Chuck Galloway, who's an industry. The next one's going to be Judd King, who's a university, and then it'll be, and that's just an unwritten rule that we're, and I think it's very good. And by the way, we have found, which surprised me, some excellent leaders in universities. In fact, right now, I would say there's more good leaders in universities than there are in the industry. Just some excellent. And most of the guys we have been working real hard in this, when we were started working with them, they were heads of chemistry or chemistry department. Today, a big portion of them are deans, provosts, everything under the sun. That just shows that they were very high caliber people. And you take a guy like Judd King and people like that, they're excellent. So we have no problem with them being leader of our organization. You know, a lot of times, first ACS, you know, sometimes they get those professors in there and they're not much of a leader. But we haven't had any trouble with that at all. And we've got a lot of good people coming up in the industry side, university side. Like, for instance, Ivan Legg, who's running this tape thing. He's from Auburn right now. Excellent man. Hard working. I mean, works harder than any industry man. So I think that's been a really good move to be sure that this thing is not dominated by either side. And I think in the long run, the people appreciate that. And that just builds up much more trust, you know, when you're saying, boy, we're going to share this thing alike. Let's see now, what was the question, was it on the...
Well, I was asking how you feel 10 years after.
Oh, very good. Excellent. People keep asking me every time I go to a meeting about that. Now, let me say along with this, though, I'm given kind of credit for starting this, and I guess I did by starting this meeting here in Midland, but, man, there have been a lot of effort put in by a lot of good people to make this thing go beside me. And they've really worked hard and done a lot of good work. So I can just name them by the dozens. And so that's what's good about it. See, ACS is a powerful organization. It ought to be doing 10 times more than it's doing. But it's got so cumbersome, so big, so staff-oriented, but they can't make a decision. It takes them a year to make a decision. We can make a decision in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. You just find us together, and if we're not even together, we can call the executive committee and get an answer. If there was something very important that came up, I could call Chuck Galloway and say, look, CCR executive committee needs to make a decision this afternoon, and it'd be there. But ACS, it just takes them forever because they just got one big bunch of people. And you see, we do not let our executive director, he doesn't run it. It's the chairman of the board and the executive committee that runs this place. The executive committee is just a man to help hold the thing together and put the pieces of paper together and look up stuff and do the work. He doesn't make the decisions, and when we hire one, that's the first thing we tell him. You're our servant to our, more or less, to our board and the executive committee, not trying to run the place. And if you do, you're in trouble right quick. And that's the way the organization runs. And we don't intend to hire very many more people. Of course, if it, you know, we get taking on a lot more things, we may have to pick up another man here or there. And I think that's what makes us so different. Now we're not near as powerful yet as ACS, but we're beginning to influence a lot of people. Because see, we can go immediately, directly to both sides and find out what they're thinking. If we need to, we can go to industry, or we can go to the universities, and we can get back real quick what the people are thinking about anything. And ACS, you know, they don't have anywhere to go, really, except their membership, and good gracious, that's so modeled, and that, you know, you wouldn't have any idea. So we've got a lot of advantages, I think, and a lot of uniqueness, and ACS has come to accept CCR as an ally rather than a threat. And they're all for us, give us all the support, help. We work together, we give money to them, they give money to us. And we went out all out. I knew at the beginning that they were very concerned, so I made every move in the early stages to try to overcome this. We included them in every move we made. They were on our task force. They were on our... And we invited to every meeting we have, we were invited to speak, be a part of it, understand what's going on, and if they don't like something... They think we're overstepping our bounds to let us know, you know.
So do you have a similar arrangement with the AICHE?
Yeah, we do. But they have not been this. They're there for us. They've got no complaint. But they don't tend Monero as much. They're much more a loner type group than ACS. We don't have quite the close relationship, but still, it's okay. They come to a lot of our meetings, and they've been very much involved. Right.
Well, you've answered most of the questions that I had. You answered them without my asking them, so is there anything else you wanted to add at this point?
About their early history.
Mm-hmm.
I wish to stir up something. I guess I've told most everything. And more people come to me and say this, that we hit a nerve, a needed nerve at the right time. Something was very necessary and needed. It is serving a purpose. And most people are very happy with everything that's taking place. We've got to, one thing for sure, we've got to maintain membership in our, particularly in the industry side, at a fairly high level. See, for instance, even in Dow, I left, and Dave Sheets, my successor, took, and then he's pulling out, and then the new guys come in. And so I went to drink. Paul Arfus had been with me and Earl Barnes, and they were very much backers. In fact, when I left Dow, I debated, well, this thing's going, I'll just walk off and leave it and do something else. But Earl Barnes and Paul Arfus and Ted Doan, all three, got called me and said, look, you started something, now finish it. And we're even willing to pay you for it. I said, well, okay, yeah. Well, so I spent 3 years almost full time. And good thing I did, I think, because it needed a lot of shepherding there in the early years. But I didn't take hardly any pay. In fact, I calculated out where it would take, I think, $32,000 to break even. They'd have to pay me. So why take that kind of money from Dow? I let them pay me one time $5,000, which it didn't bother me. But I was... See, when I retired, I made a kind of a vow to myself. You know, most people want to consult and make all the money they make. I said, I'm not going to obligate myself by taking money, then I've got to go do something. I'm going to help the common good. And that's what I was trying to do in the first place. And that's been my policy ever since. I've turned down more consulting jobs, even for job offers. Where I feel like I can do what I want to when I want to help the common good. So few people are really willing to do that. A lot of people, well, that's not right. A lot of people want to do that, but they're not willing to stick their neck out unless somebody leads them, I find. A lot of people will do things if they've got somebody willing to take the blame for it a little bit, so to speak. But everybody mostly is working for their self or for their company. And I ought to cut this thing off. It's off the record.
You had mentioned earlier that the funding came from Dow, but as you told your colleagues, you didn't tell the people above you. What was their reaction when they found out?
Very supportive. In fact, the first time Paul knew about I was doing this, I went to him and told him I wanted him to be my keynote speaker. He said, great, fine. And I told Earl, and they didn't have any. They was all for it. And I, this wasn't my intent or in my mind at the time, but as time has gone on, this has been a big boost for Dow. It's worth every penny. And I think they probably knew that themselves then. I don't know, but Dow right now, I understand, is number one on recruiting in campus. I mean, that's the preference now, is number one, over DuPont even. And I'm sure CCR has had something to do with that. Not everything, not totally by any means, but something to do with that. Because the universities really appreciate, and they really appreciate me. Give me way more credit than I'm due, because so many other people have done so much to make this thing successful than me. I just helped get it started.
But if you hadn't started it, they couldn't have been successful in it either. So your
That's
step
right.
was the
Somebody
key
had to step up the plate.
That's right.
And and I just stepped up to the plate. You see, the same, I did the same thing with CIT, really. See, we had just gone through this vinyl chloride problem, mm-hmm. and they was accusing the industry of covering up everything under the sun, you know, all false. And I looked around, what in the world are we going to do about this problem? We, you know, Dow had one of the biggest toxicology things. We, less like DuPont, we had everything we needed and all the power we wanted and the people in place. But there were hundreds of companies out there that didn't have anything. And we as an industry were taking a beating, including Dow, even though we were honoring everything we were supposed to. So I came up with the idea of maybe what we ought to do is just join up. And first of all, we couldn't afford individually to test everything by ourselves. Second, we needed a good independent, not a Dow or a DuPont lab, but an independent lab to look into what was really and find out how bad our chemicals really are. And so I just picked up the phone and called all 6 or 8 or 10 of my buddies to come to Midland and just talk about it. And I made a presentation, and you know what they first thought? We were adding on to our tox lab here, a big expansion. They thought I was trying to figure out a scheme to help fill up that tox lab. That's what they really thought from the beginning. And I didn't have that in mind at all. And they were real surprised when they found out really what was trying. And boy, then they joined in, and everybody's saying you can't do this. Well, no way, there's antitrust and everything under the sun, you know, problems. Well, we got us a good lawyer, Milt Wessel. I'm sure you know him or not. He is our crackerjack. And we put that thing over. And, oh, it was not the nick and tuck. DuPont was dead set against it. And but we put that thing over and got it rolling, and it's considered one of the best moves the chemical industry's ever made. So a bunch of determined people together and trying to do something not for themselves but for everybody. That's what the whole thing's about. This is what amazed this lawyer, Milt Wessel. I've had letter after letter from him. He just came. He said that people could just hear you people talking at the board, what you're trying to do. They're just absolutely amazing, you know. Even the MCA was skeptical. You know, they thought they ought to be doing this. They were going to just take it over. And we told them, okay, take it over. You will go run it. They looked at it. We made a presentation. They said, no, we better let it alone. Y'all go ahead.
Well, I think I'm going to close then and thank you for spending this time with me this afternoon to talk about CCR
specifically. You think I've covered what
I
you want?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Good. Good.
So thanks very much.
Well, we appreciate this center because I am a real advocate of history. In fact, I wish Dow had done more earlier. You know, at one time they made a ruling, you know, you couldn't save any information on any individual or any history. They've kind of reversed that now, and I guess Nanette Brand is trying to. Have you seen this book that I had written on Dow Research?
Yes, yes.
You see, I had to do that undercover.
Yeah, I heard about that indirectly.
Yeah, I didn't realize it, but I was accumulating all this stuff early, back in 73, and I went to Earl one day and told him that I was going to do this. He said, you realize you're violating a direct edict of the board of directors? And I said, no, what's that? And then he quoted this edict. And I said, well, just forget I told you. I'm going underground. And so I didn't tell anybody anything for years until I had it pretty near ready to go. But that time they had kind of swung around. And I think, see, we just had the guy that wrote that up, took all this stuff we had accumulated and put it together. Old Gorbachev, I mean, see, just a down man here. I think he did an excellent job. It's not a completely polished job, but it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of information in it.
Oh, it sure is. And I imagine in time past, people will be digging into that book.
Oh, yes. I've used it.
Have you?
Oh, yes. I've used it.
Really?
To pick out pieces on certain people that we're dealing with. So I've used it many times.
Now, you interviewed... you got that on...